Our scripture reading for this morning, very familiar words are taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. And Christ is here speaking to his disciples the night of his betrayal. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Each year in one of my classes, I ask the students, how old were you when 9/11 took place? Or what do you remember about that incident? And it makes you realize how long ago it already is, that 15 years ago, that students are already saying, well, I was only a couple of years old. The older students often have some memories about it. Those that are maybe juniors and seniors, they remember their parents being upset and agitated. Some of them remember the images originally, those first few days. Of course, it dominated the news cycle for weeks and months after that. The day after 9/11, on a Wednesday morning, I happened to be giving a chapel talk to a local Christian grade school. And I remember that morning I had selected the hymns and the readings months in advance and wasn't sure if I should change them, but the reading for that morning was Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, that begins with the words, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." I remember as I was reading that, could see the kindergartners sat in the front rows in first, second grade, and then all the way to the back to the eighth graders. And I remember you could see that the little ones were pretty much oblivious to what was going on. But the further back you got in the rows, you could see more and more fear. There were even some kids who were teared up. And I remember particularly two of the teachers were crying as they sat down that morning for their devotion. But when I read those words, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth," afterwards one of the teachers came up to me and said, "You know, as soon as you read those words, I could just feel a calm coming over me. I could feel like things were going to be okay." It's interesting how fear can sometimes actually be visible in people. I wonder, as Jesus was speaking the words of our text and was having supper that night with his disciples, giving them the Lord's Supper, I wonder if he could have seen in their faces physically, as maybe you and I could have too if we were there that night, the physical fear on them. He certainly could read their hearts, which is why he says to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Don't let your hearts be troubled. The Greek word there means to be agitated. It means to be full of fear. Don't let your hearts be agitated. Why would he have to say that to these men who have been around him for years now, have watched him stop storms, have seen him raise people back to life from the dead, have witnessed him be in control of all things, have seen him transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration? Think of all the amazing events that have pointed to his divine majesty, that he truly is the Son of God. And yet here, as he speaks to them about the upcoming events and even prophesies his resurrection, they're struck with such fear. And he feels a need to address that. What are the things that cause us to be afraid? What are the things that cause us to be anxious? Why is it that fear is such a natural thing, even for us as Christians? Even when we have the assurances and promises of God, we still struggle with feelings of fear and anxiety. Well, here's some of the reasons. First of all, you and I have been let down a lot in life. We've had things not go the way we wanted. We've had things not work out the way we planned, frequently. We've had things pop up in our lives that were completely unsuspected, that suddenly changed the course of the history of how our life was going to play out. So that's one of the reasons. And so because of that, in this world, there are no guarantees. Even the person who claims to have the most control of a situation and makes you a promise cannot actually necessarily carry that out because there are so many uncontrollable events that human beings just can't get their hands around. And that could have an impact on whether or not those promises actually come true. And another reason we have such anxiety then, based on these reasons, but in addition to that, we're always entering an unknown. And quite often, isn't that the case, that when we're looking at things that make us feel anxious and fearful, we're entering kind of an unknown thing. And there's something terrifying about that because there's so many possibilities out there. There's so many things that could go wrong. And our minds tend to gravitate toward the things that go wrong. When I've noticed when people are told that there are four or five possibilities with a health issue that they've detected in some tests, that quite often people's minds gravitate to the worst possible scenario. And they kind of want to dwell there. We have a tendency to do that. But Jesus is basically saying to his disciples and to us today as well, I'm not like other people that you know in your life. I am the one that possesses all authority. I'm the one that controls everything. He is the master of the universe, the one who created the universe. And he says, if you can't trust me, who else could you ever trust? He is the director and controller of all things. All authority has been given to him. But there's also a fourth reason why we often have a fearfulness in us about looking ahead to the future, and in particular about dying and what's going to happen to us after we die. And that is this: we know ourselves. You know yourself, just like I do. We know what's gone on in our lives. We know the things that we have kept hidden from everybody else. We know the stuff that we've done in our lives that causes our consciences to tremble and to be terrified and afraid of having to face a holy God someday. And because we know that about ourselves, we know the deepest, darkest secrets that we have. That's what makes us so afraid and so terrified. Jesus knew all of this about his disciples too. They had those same types of fears and concerns about themselves. Jesus knew all of that about them, and he still comes to them with this gracious promise. And he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. He knew all of that about them. He comes to you today. He knows that thing that's on your mind right now, the very thing that's making you most afraid that you're not going to be led into heaven. And because of what he's done for you on the cross, he says to you, do not be afraid. I go to prepare a place for you too. Just think of that. There's so many people in our lives that if they really knew the truth about us and what's going on in our minds and hearts and eyes and head, and they would run away from us. Think of all the things that would change in your life if people knew everything about you. The eternal God does know that. And yet, because of the blood of Christ, can say to you, I still have a place in heaven for you. That's the certainty that we have in the work of our Savior. You know, quite often we are, when we think of the ascension of Christ, we are caught up in the grandeur and the majesty and the miracle of all of this, and it truly is amazing. We should certainly be enamored with all of that. But do not miss the personal aspect of your Lord's ascension. Do not miss the fact that he now promises you individually that he's gone ahead to prepare a place for you. And thank God, the reality of your heaven and of your room in heaven, thank God, the reality of that existing and being there and being taken care of is not based upon the strength of your faith, how firmly you grasp this. It's already been taken care of by his work. In fact, just to make sure you don't quiver in fear about whether it's really there, Jesus underlines it and he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. And isn't that true? If it were not so, Christ would never have spoken these words to us. Think about all the promises and prophecies that God made throughout Scripture. Some of them were that were just completely out of human control and completely against science and biology and the rules that we have of nature. Think of the promises and prophecies he made to Noah and to Abraham and Sarah. You could go on, the list of all these things. And yet not a single one of them, not once, has he let anybody down. Not once. The God who has all authority is the one who's talking to you through his word today when he talks to you about where you're going to be when you die and the fact that you get to come to heaven. And he says, trust me, because I've never let anyone down, and he controls all things for us. So the Son of God invites that trust from you and me today. The very Christ who's gone ahead to make reservations for us, who's made sure that your name is in the registry of heaven, who's made sure your initials are put onto the towels in heaven, who's made sure that the menu that is planned is the food that you like and that you want. He has made all things ready for you. And he frequently comes to you through his word and sacraments and says, trust me in this. As you leave this campus, after your tests and everything, as you leave this campus, may you make sure to leave here with the absolute certainty that you have heaven waiting for you because of your Redeemer and because he, the one who has all authority, has given you that promise. Amen.